Chloe Nelson loves chocolate. Chloe also loves science, technology, engineering, maths and art, and particularly loves whatever might bring these interests together, exploring the boundaries, developing delicious chocolatey creations, sharing knowledge with others, and doing that right now on 2SER Breakfast. We welcome Chloe Nelson to the program. Hey, Chloe, how are you?
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Danny.
My absolute pleasure. How does one become a chocolate scientist?
I had a bit of an unusual journey. I originally trained to become a scientist. I was a chemist. I really loved learning about the structures of molecules, but I didn't actually like working inside a lab all day. So at the same time, I loved baking, and I thought, you know what? I could become a chocolatier. So I went and I trained as a chocolatier. Yeah. And it then turned out I enjoy eating the chocolate, but I didn't love making the same chocolates over and over again. But my husband pointed out, I really enjoy explaining how to do it. So that's sort of how I came to combine my love of science with my love of chocolate. And it was very particularly explaining how I made what I made and the science behind it.
Is there much of a science to chocolate?
There is. There's a huge amount of science. So chocolate, one of the main ingredients is cocoa butter. Mm-hmm. And cocoa butter is mainly made up of a fat. And that fat can make a crystal structure, kind of like diamond has a crystal structure.
Really?
It's pretty amazing. And there are six different crystal structures that cocoa butter can make. But only one of those crystal structures helps us make the chocolate that we love, the chocolate that has that beautiful snap, the chocolate that's nice and shiny, which I found really fascinating. And interestingly, we know how to get chocolate with that crystal structure.
Yeah.
So we do that by tempering it. So we might melt chocolate and like swirl it around on a marble slab. You might have seen people do that on TV. Mm-hmm. But we actually don't know why that happens because we can't zoom in and look at the molecules and what they're doing while we're doing it. So it's a bit of science, a bit of magic.
That's wild. And I mean, like chocolate and cocoa, it's one of those things that's been part of the human race since like forever.
Yeah, it's such an ancient food, or originally a drink from the Aztecs.
Yeah, because it's like hot chocolate was it's sort of like first incantation as a food stuff, right?
That's it. So chocolate originally was a drink, and it was really bitter. It didn't have any of the sugar or the milk added to it.
Okay. Now, is chocolate, because I host a breakfast radio show, I need to know, is chocolate a suitable breakfast, in your opinion, as a chocolatier and a scientist?
You know what? It's got a lot of bits of nutrition we need. It's got fat. Fat is really important for us. It's got protein in it. Be it only a small amount.
I'm all about the protein.
Oh, look, you'd have to eat a lot to hit your protein requirements, but
that shouldn't be a problem.
It's got your protein in it. If you head towards your dark chocolates, I'd recommend them more as a breakfast food than your white chocolates, but look, you can use it, can it? It's their breakfast. Not every day. I do have to still put a balance in there. Not every day, but a little bit of dark chocolate probably will help out your day.
I'm going to ask your opinion and about some chocolate facts and things that happen. Now, in my household, the Easter chocolates tend to be there for ages and ages. When they go a bit white, are they still safe to eat?
I'm going to say usually. If they're just chocolate, they're usually fine. So when chocolate gets a little bit melted, the cocoa butter comes out of temper, so it loses that crystal structure, and then it just tends to clump together, and that's what you're normally seeing with those white spots. But if the chocolate is filled, so if it's like a nice hazelnut praline, it could be mold, so don't eat it.
Oh, okay, then no worries. Now, with that in mind, where are you meant to keep your chocolate? Do you keep it in the cupboard, in a cool, dry place, or should it go in the fridge?
Well, ideally in a cool, dry place, but given we live in Australia, cool and dry has a very different meaning to a lot of other countries. So in winter, in winter, definitely the cupboard. In the height of summer, I'd probably go in the fridge because it will melt.
Fair enough. What about that thing? Is chocolate actually bad for dogs?
Yeah, it's incredibly bad for dogs. There's a chemical in chocolate called theobromine. And when I say chemical, I don't mean something unnatural. It's
there's a molecule. Chemicals in everything.
Yeah, like water is a chemical, according to a chemist. So theobromine is a molecule, a chemical in chocolate, and it's really toxic for dogs. But interestingly, theobromine is the thing in chocolate that makes us feel good when we eat it.
Okay.
So caffeine's in chocolate and makes us feel buzzy and quite energetic, whereas theobromine's the chemical that actually makes us feel kind of happy when we eat chocolates and gives us that happy, excited feeling. Makes us happy, kills dogs.
Yeah, so that's no good. But dogs
don't let Lassie eat your chocolate.
But the dogs want to eat the chocolate, don't they? They desire it. Is it because they live on the edge?
Maybe. Look, there are lots of other things in chocolate that are enticing to dogs, like the sugar in there.
Yeah, right.
Milk. So chocolate smells good, but they can't necessarily smell the theobromine in it, which is toxic to them.
Okay, then, all right. So keep the chocolate away for dogs. If your chocolate's a little bit white, it's probably still fine to eat as long as it's just chocolate. But if it's chocolate mixed with other stuff, it might not be the thing to go. What's the go with this popular chocolate that all the kids are talking about at the moment? What is it, the Abu Dhabi chocolate or what's that chocolate called?
Dubai chocolate.
That's the one.
I knew that.
I was just saying it under a different name to make it seem like I was detached from whatever
was
popular.
I haven't had the opportunity to try it myself yet, but my understanding is that Dubai is obviously a very warm place, warmer than lots of parts of Australia, so your chocolate's just going to melt. So they needed to change their chocolate up a little bit. So I think inside it's like more of a nutty filling with a few changes to their shell on the outside to make it not melt as
I think it might be a pistachio paste and crunchy kadayif, which I don't know what that is.
It sounds quite delicious, though.
Well, I mean, surely people should be sending you boxes of it, considering you are the world's foremost chocolate scientists.
Look, it would be a nice thing for someone to do.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll get your address up on the 2SER website so people know where to send that chocolate to. Where to next on your journey throughout the science of chocolate, Chloe?
Well, given all of my experiences with how things like chocolate science workshops can really improve people's knowledge but also make them more interested in science, I think a lot of us went to school at a time when science actually wasn't necessarily that interesting. We often got turned off science. I have ended up moving towards a research career. So I actually now, I'm about to finish a PhD in
congratulations.
Thank you. I'm a month out from finishing. It's very exciting. So I look at how informal learning experiences can help engage people with science and help them learn more about it. So things like your radio show or a chocolate science workshop are all really important contributions.
Well, for what it's worth, if it'll help your PhD along, you're always welcome back here on 2SER Breakfast, Chloe.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.